You're listening to Diaspora DJ. I'm your host, Salam Gaitu. Sick Said It released her first single, Buckhead Freestyle, in 2019. She's since released two mixtapes, 2020's Outside and its 2022 sequel, Outside 2, which has attracted acclaim for its unique, genre-bending production. Born in the UK to Nigerian parents, Six grew up in major cities all over the Black Atlantic world, including London, Atlanta, Lagos, Abuja, and New York. The influence of her cosmopolitan upbringing can be heard in her music, which features a blend of East Coast, Dirty South, trap, drill, and Afro swing. This year, Six has released two singles, Goat, which samples 50 Cent's 2003 hit song, Pimp, and the flirty, drill-inspired track, Bite Size. In this episode, I had the chance to speak to Six from her Los Angeles home ahead of the release of her newest single, Chapa to Japan, about what it means to represent the Black Atlantic world through music and what fans can expect from her in the future.
My name is Six, aka Six Said It, aka Six the Hit Girl. I'm a rapper based in Los Angeles, California currently, but I'm actually Nigerian, British, and American-ish. I don't actually have a passport, but I did grow up between London and Atlanta, Georgia. So yeah.
Great. That leads perfectly into my first question. Having lived all over the world and being exposed to so many different cultures, what kind of music were you listening to growing up, and when did you first get into hip hop?
Yeah, I feel like I thought it was normal to listen to all of the type of music that I was listening to when I was much younger, but my mom is an older sibling, so I was the first grandchild, so I was like around older people all the time. And being Nigerian, obviously we would listen to like Afrobeats and things like that, but alongside like hip hop, both of my mom's brothers were rappers in their like 20s. And I was
I
like
love that.
listening to their music and being in their music videos. So I was really heavy on like hip hop, pop, like the Kylie Minogues, the S Club Sevens, Spice Girls was really big when I was growing up. And yeah, and a lot of like dance music and garage and drill. So I think that when it comes to the type of music that I was growing up, just to summarize it, I think it was deeply influenced in like just Black cultural music between like hip hop, house, and Afro beats.
That totally makes a lot of sense. And it really shows in your sound. I love how you describe yourself as a worldly rapper, because we can see so much of like the Black cultural influence internationally in your music. And I was wondering, when you first started rapping, did you know that that was something you really wanted to highlight in your music?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think like when I first started rapping and when I started taking it seriously, what was really important for me was for me to showcase like who I am. And it just so happens that, you know, all of these different cultures are a part of me. I didn't want to limit myself to like one sound. Like someone would say, like, if you're from Atlanta, like make Dirty South music, or if you're from the simple fact that I wasn't from all of these places that I was, you know, the simple fact that I wasn't from just one place, I was from all of these places. I wanted to be able to showcase who I was in my music. And the only way for me to do that is for me to share all of these different cultural influences from these different parts of the world. So I was super intentional about that. I did get some questions about people saying like, oh, you need to figure it out. You need to figure out what your sound is, but I'm glad that I didn't.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that too. Like, did you ever face any challenges for people saying like, oh, it's hard to market, or like, oh, you need to pick one? And how did you overcome that and, you know, carve out your own lane?
Yeah, so like when I started, I did get a lot of feedback that was pretty similar to just telling me like, hey, you have to find your niche, you have to find your pocket or your demographic, I guess. And something that I'm a firm believer in until today is that, you know, you just show up being yourself and people will follow. Like you don't have to find some, I guess, space to fit in. You can always create your own space. And that's like how new genres came about, right? Like if people didn't figure out a way to create their own spaces and make their own music that represents who they are truly down to their core, we wouldn't have half of the genres that we have today. So I just didn't listen to that advice. I will say, though, that I kind of understand where they were coming from because it is still something that I'm kind of struggling with today, as far as like going back and forth with the idea of, okay, like, is this a marketable thing? Like, then you start to struggle with the idea of like, okay, well, this music is a representation of me, but are people receiving me, right? And that can become a little bit difficult. But then at the end of the day, like anything else, music, regardless of me doing music or not, you always just have to show up being yourself, no matter how, no matter, I guess no matter the pushback, you always just have to show up being yourself.
Just this year, you released Goat and Bite Size, right?
Yes, I did.
Can you talk me through like the process of making those songs? Because they sound so different, but they're also so you.
Yeah. So Go came out of like frustration. So I feel like in the chorus of Go, it says, I don't know what you heard about me, but I bet I got the people out they see. And when this drop, the world is gonna see that I'm the mother Goat. And I felt like when I was writing Goat, I just wanted to get my, like, I just wanted to get a lot of things off of my chest. Like, at that point, I felt like a lot of people have been watching me, right? Like, a lot of people have been paying attention to my talent, and they know that I'm capable of doing great things, but whatever the reason, they're not willing to give me that recognition just because of like the size of an artist I am. So ironically, starting off, I not even ironically, I did it intentionally. Like, I wanted to start off the year with Goat to kind of set the precedent for the rest of the year. Because the year prior, I didn't release any music. I only released one other single, which was like in the end of November. And so I had spent like an entire year prior to that single of just like uncertainty and kind of like letting voices get in my head about like figuring things out and everything. But like, Goat was an affirmation for me. And like I said, I wanted it to set the precedent of the year. The difference between Goat and Bite Size is huge because Goat is more so like, hey, here I am. This is a declaration, like, hey, here I am, everybody look, pay attention. And then Bite Size, the follow-up single, was to show people the skill, like to show people my skill set while also being like being very lighthearted. It's a fun song. It's not 100% true. Like, I'm not some man eater that but in the song you see that I use a lot of like English language wordplay. All under the context of like hair and using hair to describe relationships between myself and men. And I just thought it was a super fun song and a way to show people that I am lyrically inclined, but that being lyrically inclined doesn't mean that you can't make a song that people can dance to.
Yeah, I feel like that totally comes through. It's a very fun, flirty song, but it's fast. It keeps you on your toes. Like, and I'll try to rap along and I'll be like, nah, she got it. When you're like writing your music, is it typically the beat that comes to you first, or the lyrics that you set to a beat that you find later?
Yeah, it's usually the latter. Like, I'll have like funny, witty come. I watch a lot of Housewives,
Oh,
so
period.
so they're really good. They're quick on their feet with like comebacks and like little sayings and things like that. And I'm also chronically online, so like TikTok and all of these like little memes and things like that. They're like playing in my head constantly, nonstop. So then I'll come up with like a one-liner, and usually that's how it happens, is I'll come up with a one-liner that might be a double entendre. And then I'm like, ooh, how do I play up on that? And then I kind of build the lyrics from there. And once I find the lyrics and the cadence that I kind of vibe with, then I start looking for like a beat to match it to, or to like then create a song.
Okay, that's cool. And do you work with like an engineer or producer?
Yeah, I've been working with the same engineer since literally the first time I've ever stepped into the studio. His name's Mata. But I don't work with a producer. I get most of my beats on BeatStars. It's like this platform, It's kind of like an Amazon for beats. Like you can
Okay.
type in what kind of beat you want, and then they're like, there's all these things, and then you can just buy it, and like no middleman, no extra, oh my gosh, send me this back. Like, no, it's just you buy your beat and you, it's like a clean cut transaction. I'm very socially awkward at times, and also I wouldn't even say socially awkward. I would say when it comes to creativity, I don't have like a typical collaborative like personality. I can be very critical of certain things. I'm very picky, and it's just easier for me to click and buy sometimes than it is to like work one-on-one with people, because one, I don't want to offend anybody because it is their art, and two, I don't want to be stuck all day like going back and forth on what I want something to sound like. If I want something to sound like this, I'd rather just find it. But I am trying to work on that. I am trying to eventually start working with producers, because at the end of the day, music and creativity is a collaborative effort, and you're only going to get better if you're able to find a producer to kind of like hone in on a sound.
That definitely makes sense, especially with a sound like yours, where it's like very specific to your interests.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for when that period comes. I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Literally, me too. It's difficult because I think for me to find a producer, like you know how every like rapper has like some sort of a producer, it's like a rapper producer duo. I'm excited for that to happen for me, because but it's kind of difficult because it would have to be someone that understands or is open-minded to creating music, like creating world music and researching the music, not just kind of like biting and stealing from other people. It's like researching the music and finding out ways to make it our own. I do work with a producer named Toye Aru. He's a friend of mine. We did Sweat together. He's great. But we just haven't had the opportunity to like really work on that like from scratch opportunity just yet. So hopefully, yeah, I'm growing. I'm trying to be have a more open mind about doing those things. So yes.
It's exciting, and you're in a perfect place, like LA. Was
I
that move
know.
really for the career, or how did it come about?
So I was working as a nurse and during the pandemic. So it was pretty bad in 2020 in New York. So I was in New York at the time. Pretty bad. You know, it started, COVID kind of started to die down a little bit in New York, and I just really needed a change of space, change of environment. I was super traumatized from the experience being a new nurse and like kind of being surrounded by death and just like melancholy the entire time, in a very short period of time as well. So I was looking for greener pastures, and I figured, you know what, why don't I move across the country? Why don't I move across the country? And I had just started my rap career. Everyone was like, oh, LA sounds like the perfect place to be. And I already had like my best friend from middle school was here. So I was like, you know what? It sounds like the perfect thing for me to do. So I ended up moving to LA. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a career move, because it actually was a lot more difficult for me to navigate my music once I got here. For the first year, I wasn't making any music. Because it was difficult for me to find studio sessions, studios. And then when I would find studios, a lot of the people that I would run in with were, for lack of a better term, like weird. Like they would do a lot of like, they took advantage of me, I would say. Some of them definitely took advantage of me. And then a lot of them also weren't necessarily what I was used to working with. And then when I finally did get a studio space, when I finally found a studio that I was kind of comfortable with, I just wasn't, it wasn't like financially sustainable for me to continuously like go to those spaces, because it's very expensive to record music in LA. So it wasn't, you know, the best. You would think it would be like, oh, and then she moved to LA and everything, ta-da, everything was perfect. But it was actually really, really difficult for me to continue my music career here. But eventually, I think now after being here for 4 years, I finally kind of found my footing. I found my people, and I've been able to create. So I definitely think my career is moving in a positive direction, but I wouldn't necessarily say that moving here was the plan for like me career-wise. I just needed to go. I needed to leave. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I'm so sorry you had to deal with that, especially like as an artist who's really trying to grow and having people take advantage of you. That's That's so unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, unfortunately, it's like the way of the game. I wish, like, I spoke on a panel about this a couple years ago about like the importance of just speaking, like artists speaking their stories. I think, and we're kind of seeing it now. Like, there's like this revolution of like people speaking up, artists advocating for themselves, and telling and opening their mouths and telling their stories. I think in the past, a lot of the times people would feel like their career was like would be jeopardized for speaking up for themselves. So a lot of things would, like, a lot of people would get away with a lot of things. But I'm fortunate now that like there's this space where I can be more confident about speaking about the things that I went through. But yeah, definitely, I hate that I was taken advantage of. I hate that it's a norm, but I'm hoping that with time and with people being able to openly speak about these experiences more, that it doesn't it that not every new artist has to go through like being taken advantage of, you know?
Yeah, I remember I saw on your YouTube channel that you had a video giving advice on how to start a rap career and how to become a rapper. And so
I
you're
was
definitely
a rapper
part of
for like
that
5 minutes.
positive
Yeah. I
change.
was a rapper for like 5 minutes giving advice on how to rap. Like, girl, who are you? But yeah, no, but yeah, I wanted to do that because I felt like when I wanted to become a rapper, there all of this information was not, I wasn't privy to it. It wasn't just out there. You couldn't Google how to become a rapper or how to record a song, and there wasn't a lot of information, especially for women. There wasn't a lot of information out there on like the things that you need to do and like the steps that you need to take to get there. Because, and I think there's a reason for that, for sure. But I think that that's why it was so important for me to do it, even though I was like barely, I had been rapping at that point for maybe 6 months. But I knew that I was like, I knew that it was my duty to kind of take the information that I knew at the time and share it, because I know there's so many people that want to make music, but they just feel like it's not accessible. And I've met so many talented people that just don't have the resources. So at that point, I felt like, yeah, for sure, why not?
Yeah. If there was anything you could add, like 4 years later, what would you say?
I would say focus less on, when you're first coming out, focus less on finding people to propel you and focus more on your craft and paying attention to those who are already there. So, a lot of the times when you become or when you decide to make music, everyone's always just thinking about, we need to get to the next level. We need to get to the next level. Like, who's gonna, I need me a manager. I need a talent agent. I need this. I need that. I need all of these things. I need all of these people to kind of like, I need a co-sign or a feature. And so you spend thousands of dollars, or you just spend a lot of time looking for people to kind of like become responsible for your growth. But you need to take responsibility for your growth first. You need to be reaching out to potential fans. You need to be looking for those open mic opportunities, because if you can't believe in yourself enough for you to get to somewhere, for someone to notice you, then who's to say anybody else is going to do that, you know? So that will probably be the one thing that I've learned the most in these past 4 years.
That's very helpful advice.
Yeah.
I feel like your work ethic really shows in the fact that you're involved in your music through so many parts of the process. Like when I first started listening to you, one of my earliest questions was, who does these covers? And I found
Yeah.
out that you design. Can you talk to me a bit more about that?
Yeah. Before I even got into music, I would do like graph. I've been doing like little graphic design projects since I was in high school. So, it wasn't really difficult for me. And when you get into music, you start to learn that things are very expensive. Like, to put a song out, you're looking at least five, not even. You're probably looking at almost $1,000 per song. Like, between paying a producer, paying for the studio time, paying for someone to mix and engineer it, and then cover art, hair and makeup for cover art. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. And I was broke. So I was like, listen, I'm going to use as many skills that I personally have on this myself. And then whatever needs to be outsourced needs to be outsourced. So with my covers, I feel like my covers, were also just an extension of my artistry because it allowed me to kind of like tap into that space as well. I always say that music is such a blessing. Me discovering music as a talent is such a blessing from God because for the longest time, I just had all of these little passions and all, not even passions, all of these little talents and all these little hobbies that I would pick up and that I felt like I just didn't have. I didn't feel like I had a purpose until I found music and I was able to apply all of it to my music. So like making my cover arts with my digital design background and then hair and makeup, which was something that I was really into, fashion and just being a lover of the English language as well, an appreciation, having a deeper appreciation for like poetry and literature. Those all kind of feed into who I am as an artist. So I've just been really pleasant. I've just been really lucky and blessed, I would say, by God for him to be able to put all of these talents within me to prepare me for this moment.
That's beautiful. And it really shows, like, your brand is so cohesive. And so I've been really interested in, like, this new aesthetic that I'm seeing with the upcoming release of Japa to Japan, if I'm saying
Yeah.
that right.
Yes, you are.
Can you tell me a bit more about the song, the inspiration, the aesthetic, and what's coming next?
So, there's this running joke that like no matter where you are in the world, you can find at least one Nigerian.
I've seen that.
So I was seeing that, like, I don't know if it was on Twitter or TikTok, but like someone was saying, like, oh, there's like Nigerians in South Korea or something crazy, right? And I was like, was it North Korea? And I was like, oh my gosh, like how funny is that? And the idea, so Japa means to escape from Nigeria, because Nigerians are so funny. Like they love Nigeria. They have a love. We all have a love-hate Nigeria, love-hate relationship with our country. Like we love Nigeria, but then we're also like, unfortunately, due to corruption and other reasons, we have to find opportunities elsewhere a lot of the times. So I was thinking, you know what? Let me make a fun song called Japa to Japan, which is like obviously me running away to Japan because of me not feeling appreciated anywhere else. And going to Japan for a night. And then this is kind of like the reaction of me leaving and coming to Japan, which is like the reason why I chose Japan is because Japan has such a rich cultural like history that you can pick a lot of things from. Like when it comes to like East Asian culture, they have a lot. It's just like there's so many things that we kind of take from Japan, and even in the Western world. When we talk about like anime, sushi, obviously these are like very basic things, but like anime, sushi, things like Godzilla. Just like there's a number of different things that I was like, okay, there's a lot for me to play with here, and there's a lot of wordplay that I can kind of tap into. I just love like Harajuku, like I love kawaii aesthetics. Like I loved Hello Kitty growing up. So I was like, how freaking perfect would it be to kind of just like tap into all of that energy into the song? Like a lot of the ad-libs are very cutesy, kawaii kind of like anime responses. And like the persona that I even kind of like adapt or like the develop in the song is just like super animated. So yeah, it's just a really fun song where I get to play upon the idea of Nigerians being everywhere and just being able to play on like Japanese culture, Japanese pop culture, I should say.
Your whole brand is so much about just like being a black person and being all over and not being put in boxes or staying in one place. And so
Literally.
when I saw you were going out and exploring like East Asian culture, I was like, this makes sense.
You see, and that's the thing. I've always wanted, like, I knew eventually that I was gonna wanna like push past like what I've experienced. Like, obviously, I'm Nigerian and I grew up in the UK and in different parts of America, but I wanted to be able to eventually push past that and like introduce other cultures into my music. And introduce other sounds based off of like the things that I research and I experience. I spoke about that really, really early on in my career. I think I did like an interview like super super early, where I spoke about like eventually I don't want to just do like Afro inspired or grime or whatever the case may be. Eventually, I want to show people like how dynamic rap can be and how it can fit in literally any genre. And yeah, so that's why I call myself like a genre bending artist. Like it's more popular now because everybody's a genre bender, but which is
You're
great.
on the
But you know, yes, I came in and that was my agenda. So yeah, no, absolutely. I that's why I'm so excited for this song. It gave me that, like, I even with me writing the song, I learned so much because I wanted to learn these different references and like I wanted to like put different things in the song. Like I learned a lot about Japanese pop culture that I probably wouldn't have known otherwise. So yeah, that was really fun.
That's so exciting. And when can we expect to hear it?
So it's actually coming out this Friday. Ooh, ooh.
Woo
Probably
woo.
in LA, it'll be like 9 p.m. on Thursday. But yeah, it's coming out this Friday. That's April 19th. Yeah. And so enjoy it while it's here. Honestly, enjoy it
Yes.
forever. It's gonna be a long year of just me continuing to create and continuing to like push my boundaries and release music.
Well, I wish you all the best. I'm so
Thank you
excited
so
to hear
much.
this single. Thank you so much for coming to chat with me for a bit about your music.
Thank you for having me. This is so great. And I really appreciate you for re reaching out and giving me the opportunity to talk about myself. All I do is like, I love to yap away.
Me too. I'm a big yapper.
So any opportunity to yap, give it to me, okay?
Period. I hope you have many more opportunities in the future.
Amen. Thank you for supporting me.
Of course. Thank you so much.
No worries. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Diaspora DJ. You can visit hiphopafrican.com for more on Six Set It, including links to stream or purchase Japa to Japan, which is out now, as well as where you can find Six on your favorite social media platforms.